continue on the journey. We're going to dismiss our children for Children's Church. They can head on out there. And let's bless our children as they go. Amen? We love them. And we're going to read from the scriptures together in unison. I invite everybody to read it together. It's going to be on the screen. We're reading first from Psalm 119. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures this morning, but Psalm 119, it'll be up on the screen, and we'll read it in unison together. Let's begin together. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading together of his word. You may be seated. I invite you to take out your bulletin and your Bibles if you haven't already. And in your bulletin will be an insert that will go along with the message and the PowerPoint presentation as well if you find it helpful to follow along. So we're looking at a number of scriptures this morning from the Psalms and then also over into the New Testament, and I invite you to follow along with those scriptures. Take a moment and pray with me. Father, we come now to your word, Lord, and how we rejoice, Father, that you have loved us so much that you have spoken to us, communicated your heart and your will, your love, your desire for us, Lord. Indeed, you have given us your word, your commands, your statutes, your decrees, so that we can know how to live and receive blessing in our lives as we follow you, Lord. Speak to us now. May your Holy Spirit open our hearts. Give us understanding, Lord, beyond the natural, but supernatural revelation in our lives, Lord, that we can grow. And we commit, Lord, to you, not only to listen to your word, but to obey it as well. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Tom, and I'm the follower of Jesus Christ. A few of you got it. And I also need to confess to all of you that I am a junk food junkie. I am addicted to junk food. Now, since we started this, yeah, got some potato chips right back there, brother. You're tempting me. Since we started this series, I must tell you and encouragingly share with you that I have been overcoming. This week, I only ate pizza once. Just once, which is better than last week, which I ate it three times. But all kidding aside, we started this series on recovery, and we also have started the ministry of Celebrate Recovery again here in this church. We had it several years ago, and we've begun it again. And it meets Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. here at this church. Celebrate Recovery is a Christian step-based ministry that uses the principles of recovery that come right from God's Word. And any of us who are dealing with a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, an addiction, are welcome to come on out Saturday evening. There's a great group of men and women, and then they break up into groups, ladies and men, to work through recovery. But the reason that we're doing this series is not merely for that, not only for that, but the fact that all of us as Christians are in recovery. All of us as Christians are in recovery. We are all recovering from our sinful nature, our flesh. And that process in our lives, that process of transformation, we use the big fancy theological word called sanctification. I've shared this with you in the weeks past. Sanctification means that I am being set apart. I am being set aside by God for His uses. And He is actually making me holy. He is making me to be more and more like Jesus Christ, His Son. And so that process is happening in our lives when you come to Jesus Christ with saving faith and you receive Him into your life, that process begins. So all of us are in recovery in a sense. Now, we began several weeks ago looking at the passage in Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 25. I'm not going to go over that again. Invite you, if you'd like to, you can get the CDs or the sermon series is available on the website, www.islandalliancechurch.com. All of the sermons on this recovery series are available for free download and listening to. And video, oh, please, don't even mention that. I've not yet looked at a video of myself, and I don't plan to. So we began. And the main point we have started with, really, which will continue to be the main point for all of these sermons, is this. That I must realize I'm not God. I must admit that I'm powerless in myself to change my sinful nature. That tendency to do the wrong thing. But through the power of Jesus Christ, I can be transformed and overcome. Through the power of Jesus Christ, I can be transformed and I can overcome. And so we began. We broke it down into steps. And we used the word recovery and used each first letter, or each letter rather. And the first letter we used was R. Realize I'm not God. Admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, to change my sinful nature. Each one of us has within us a propensity. It's a big fancy word. A tendency to sin. Man by his own nature is not intrinsically good, but rather man by his nature is intrinsically sinful. We all do the wrong thing. Every one of us, including me. We know the right thing to do, but we don't do it. We know what is wrong, and yet those are the things we do. And that was Romans chapter 7, where Paul himself admits, the things that I hate, I do these things. And the things that I want to do, I don't do them. But he ends that chapter by saying, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has given Jesus Christ His Son so that we can be transformed and overcome. Now, in the middle of that, I might recognize and come to realize in my life that I have a controlling hurt, habit, or addiction, or hang-up which is causing my life to become unmanageable. I mean, trying to manage our sinful nature is hard enough, isn't it? Can I get an amen? It's hard to deal with ourselves. We deceive ourselves most of the time. And it's hard enough to deal with ourselves, and yet we may find I have a controlling hurt, habit, or hang-up, or addiction that has made my life become unbearable, unmanageable. Therefore, I must take special focus and special attention to that through these steps, these principles which apply to all of us as Christians. They may apply to me specifically with one of these issues. And we looked at those over and over again. We can't go back over them again. Number two, E, I must earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, that He has the power to help me recover through Jesus Christ. I must earnestly believe that God exists. And that through Jesus Christ, He has the power to help me recover. You and I must come and embrace Jesus Christ. We must first. That's really the first step. We understand until I recognize my need for Jesus Christ, I am not going to receive Him. I am not going to invite Him into my life to help me because I don't think I need Him. I know many of us, and there may be some of you here today, that have not yet come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But many of us can remember the time that we thought, I'm good enough. I don't need God. I'm not weak like those other people. Christianity, it's just a crutch. It's a crutch for weak people who can't stand on their own. Well, let me tell you something. Not only do I need one crutch, I need two. I need Jesus Christ in my life because I've come to recognize that I am sinful, and the only way that I can be forgiven is to embrace Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that He offers to me. So I must believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I wasn't planning to do this, but late last night, the Lord just dropped this into my spirit and said, you need to insert this. So I'm obeying. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this, the word is near you, it's in your heart. What is that word? That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe, I get that right, and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You and I must come to a place where we embrace Jesus Christ, invite Him into our life, where we can say, Jesus is Lord. Now what that means, not just some cerebral exercise, not just assenting to some fact or some creed that I once learned as a kid and have repeated for 25 years. No, I must personally be able to say, Jesus is Lord, He is my Lord. I have invited Him into my life so that He is my Lord. And a lot of young people, let me speak to you for just a moment, children and young people, you must come to a point in your own life where you are no longer flying on mom and dad's face. You must make a decision yourself in your own life that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, and you must follow Him, not because mom and dad do, not because your family does, but because you know in your heart you need Him, and He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And we're so glad that our children here in this congregation, many of them are very sensitive to the Lord's leading. And we are grateful for that, and we want to continue to nurture that. You and I must come to Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question as we start this. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you asked Him to come into your life, forgive you, embrace Him as your Lord, and receive His forgiveness? Have you done that in your life? Have you come to that place where you know, I realize I can't save myself, I can't help myself in the sense of my sin, but God has made a provision. His Son, Jesus Christ, took our sins upon Himself. He bore those sins upon the cross. He died our death, and God raised Him from the dead to show that He indeed was a satisfactory offering. God raised Him from the dead. He is now the Lord, the living and risen Lord. Have you come to know Him in your heart? I'm going to take just a moment and invite us to pray. And I want you to consider that. And if you haven't done that in your life, I want to invite you and encourage you to take that step of faith right now. We're not going to make this a big fancy thing. God knows your heart, and you know if you need to do this. If you're sitting here today and all of a sudden your palms are feeling sweaty, all of a sudden your heart is beating fast, and you know God is speaking to you, you know you need to do this and you haven't yet, God is speaking to you. And so obey Him. Obey His voice. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I know that You know each one of us, and You know those that You are drawing, that You are calling to receive Jesus as their Savior and their Lord right now. So I pray for each one. I pray for those that are dealing with this issue right now, struggling with it. I pray, Lord, You will grant them the grace and the strength to submit, to give their life to You, to receive You, Lord Jesus, so that they can call You Lord. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to pray this. And if you know you need to do this, pray this out of your heart, and God will begin a miracle in your life right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for knowing me, and thank You for loving me. You sent Your Son Jesus to bear my sin, to take my death. I believe in Him, that You raised Him from the dead, and I want Him to be my Lord. Come in, Lord Jesus. Be my strength. Be my forgiveness. Be my cleansing. And I will follow You all of my days as Lord. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that out of a sincere heart, the words are not so important as understanding what you're doing. But God wants to begin a miracle. He wants to begin a journey in your life so that you can know Him personally. And He will walk with you in every aspect of your life, regardless of what comes. He'll give you peace and joy, even in difficult times. Doesn't mean those things are going to disappear, but God will be with you in the midst of it. Amen? Amen. I'd love to talk to you after the service when we have prayer at the end. If you have done that today, I'd love to have you come and tell us that you've done that. So we earnestly believe that God exists and that I matter to Him and that He has the power through Jesus Christ to help me recover. Number three is to seek to consciously choose to commit all of my life and will to Christ's care and control. And that's an ongoing issue of surrender. And we looked at that. Then we looked at number four, to openly examine and confess my faults and sins to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. We looked at James chapter 5 where it said, healing is available for us. Healing meaning I can be made whole. I can recover. I don't have to remain in this state. But God will not only help me recover and overcome my flesh and whatever those normal sins that we deal with in our lives, but if we have a controlling hurt, a controlling habit, a controlling sin, God is going to help us overcome that as well. Then we looked at number five. To voluntarily submit to any and all changes that God wants to make to my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Wow. When you start doing that, God will make some changes in your life. And that's really the hard part, where the rubber meets the road. Saying, yes, Lord, whatever the changes You want to make in me, I say yes. You see, when you invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord, there's a little problem. When you start saying, no, Lord, that's a contradiction. I must say, yes, Lord. Now, it's not easy. And that's why we need each other. That's why we pray for each other. Number six, we looked at evaluate all my relationships. And the last time we were on this series, this is what we looked at. To evaluate all my relationships. To offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. And to make amends for harm I've done to others when possible, except when to do so would harm them or others. Now, we spent a lot of time with that the last time. But one thing I want to make clear, when we looked at the issue of forgiveness, and we looked at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said, if you do not forgive anyone who sins against you, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. Now, let me just clarify just a moment. That is not making our salvation dependent upon our ability to forgive someone else. See, God actually gives you the power and the ability to forgive someone else. And so He's talking to us after we have come to Christ and to deal with the issue of forgiveness in our life. Because if you don't, it's like spiritual clogging of our arteries. You see, forgiveness can't flow through my life if I'm holding unforgiveness and bitterness. So I just wanted to make that point, that clarification. We looked at that last week. That brings us up to this week, number seven, which is R, the R in recovery, the second R. And that is this, to reserve time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Reserve time with God. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is available, while He is present. All of us need this. All of us need to spend time with God. Well, can we really get to know God? Can we know God this way? Can we know God personally? Well, Jesus prayed that for us. Did you know that? In John chapter 17, and Jesus' earthly prayer, His high priestly prayer for us, He prays this. Now this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God, the one and only God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Jesus prayed that you and I may know the one true God. Now let me ask you a question. If Jesus prayed that we could know the one true God, doesn't it make sense that we can actually know Him? There's a lot of people out there today, whether it's, on the interviews on TV or books that they read, you can't know God. God is unknowable. God is that great mystery of the universe. God is that principle. God is that unknowable force that is in the universe. Nonsense. That's a bunch of nonsense. God is personable. He is a spiritual person, and so you and I can know Him. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would have a physical representation, manifestation in the flesh, God in the flesh, so that it was God with skin on. We can know God through Jesus Christ. And so every one of us needs to reserve time with God in our lives. And there's these reasons to do this, for self-examination, Bible reading and prayer in order to know Him and His will for my life, and to gain the power to follow His will. All of us need this, and you especially need this if you're dealing with a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, an addiction. You see, you have to replace the bad habit, the bad hurt, you have to replace it with the good thing. And this is one of the best. To replace it with a habit of spending time with God. Now, time with God does not just mean self-examination. It does not just mean Bible reading or giving my prayer requests. A lot of times we come to God and we have our prayer list, right? Oh God, please help Joe. Check that off. Please help Susie. Check that off. Please help the dear folks in Japan. And we check that off. That's good, and we should pray for those things, but that's not the only thing of spending time with God. It's not merely just giving Him our requests. It's not only just reading the Bible. No. It's not merely just searching within to see, if there's sin in my life, that kind of thing. No. Let God communicate to you. Let Him communicate to you. Oh, Pastor, can God speak to me? Yes. God can speak. Listen, if He can speak to me, and I'm a rascal, He can speak to you. If He can speak to an Abraham in the Bible, Abraham lied, he disobeyed God, and God still called him His friend. And He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to David. And David was a terrible sinner. He committed adultery, he committed murder, he was constantly, using his position, for himself rather than his people. And God yet spoke to him. So don't think that because, I'm just such a sinner. God's not going to, He'll bypass me. No, He won't. Because He loves you. And He loves me. And He knows us. He knows that we are flesh. And yet He wants to speak to us. He wants to get to know us. How do we know this? Again, Jesus prayed this. John chapter 14, verse 26. But when the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. God is personal. He will speak to you personally. That's why it's so essential to reserve time with Him. You know what's one of the main things that He wants to tell you and me? He wants to tell you, I love you. We sang that song, I believe it was at the beginning. I am yours, you are mine. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that from the Lord. Because there's a lot of times that because of the way I act and the way I behave, I certainly don't feel like I belong to the Lord. In fact, I feel often far away from Him because of the way I act and the things I do, the sin that I commit. I need to hear that from the Lord. You need to hear that from the Lord. You need to hear that He loves you. That you're His. That you're precious to Him. That your sin does not keep you separated from Him. Because He has dealt with that in Christ. He has offered and given you forgiveness. And so we need to hear that from the Lord. I love reading in the Old Testament where you have these guys and gals, they're rascals. And yet God says he walks with them. And he calls some of them friends. It's like, wow, that really gives me hope. That really gives me encouragement, because if they can walk with God, so can I, and so can you. Well, let's press on. As we spend time with God, and we spend time in His Word. Now, we understand that God speaks primarily to us through His Word. And His Word informs all of our communication with God. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we think we hear God, and we don't quite get it. Or we hear God, and we think what He's saying to me, well, I need to tell it to you. God just told me something, and I need to go and tell you. And we get into that little spiritual thing where we think we're God's mouthpiece for others. Now, indeed, at times, God speaks things to us that we are to share with other people. But you know what I have found in my Christian experience, my walk with the Lord? Most of the time that God speaks things to me, it's for me. It's for me. And you know, as I meditate upon what He said to me, as I consider, wow, I can see exactly why You're saying that to me, Lord. And, you know, there may be an opportunity when I can share it with someone else. And it may be a blessing and encouragement. But let's not use those kinds of things as sort of Bible bashing. Or trying to play the Holy Spirit and convict other people. That doesn't usually work too well. We don't make a very good Holy Spirit. But God primarily speaks to us through the Word. Let's look for a few moments at the effect of the Word. The effect of the Word. In Psalm 119, we read verses 9 through 16. Let's look at verses 97 through 105. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 105. And I have my reading list down there. Kenny, would you hand that reading list to me, please? Thank you. Cindy Cusimano. Did I get that all messed up? I did, didn't I? Yeah. Go ahead and do that. We'll come back to the other scripture. 139, 1 through 6.
The director of music of David, a psalm. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Amen. The Lord knows us. He knows everything about us. And He wants to speak to us, and He wants His Word to have an impact on our lives. So, we'll read the rest of that in just a moment. Let me read for you Psalm 119, 97 through 105. Psalm 119, 97 through 105. I know we read verses 9 through 16 earlier. The psalmist is writing here about God's Word, God's law. Oh, how I love Your law. I meditate on it all day long. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on Your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey Your precepts. I have kept my feet from the evil path, so that I might obey Your word. I have not departed from Your laws, for You Yourself have taught me. How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from Your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. You see the impact of the word here? You see the effect of the word on us? The psalmist writes here, verse 98, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for your commands are ever with me." Verse 99, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate upon your statutes." Verse 104, "I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path." You see, God's word will have an effect in your life where you will begin to know Him, know His ways, and you will actually have a desire to not follow and do the wrong thing. That's the effect of the word. And so, spending time with God involves spending time in His word. 1 Timothy 3:15, "The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation in Jesus Christ." You will understand your need and the basis for why you are saved. You will understand it more and more and more. How many of us, you know, we remember the time when we came to Jesus? Maybe it was just a little time ago. Maybe it was a long time ago. You remember when you first came to Jesus? Man, you were so excited. Like, oh man, Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. And that's about all you knew. If you ask you why, you'd be like, well, I don't know. He died for my sins. That's all I know. And you see, as you read the scriptures, man, you begin to understand your salvation so much more, so much deeper. You begin to think about Jesus Christ and the sin of all the world laid upon Him and how He was separated from the Father. How He bore the weight of the sin of mankind. Not just for you and for me, but for the whole world. You just begin to understand your salvation more and more and more. And so the Word has an effect upon you. It makes you wise. It makes you understanding. It gives you insight. Listen, if you gave me the choice between some learned man who had 10 degrees behind his name but didn't know anything about the Scriptures and a plain, ordinary believer who knew the Bible well, I'll go with that plain, ordinary believer on just about anything. Just about anything. Because the wisdom of the world God makes foolish by His Word. Now, that's not to denigrate in any way those who have great knowledge in this world. But you see, if it is apart from God's Word, then it's really just based on ourselves. And God gives us greater wisdom, more depth and insight in our lives. So His Word will have an effect on us. Now, we just read Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. The next section is Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. And Rachel's going to read that for us.
On? Okay, cool. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me on in the way everlasting."
Amen. Thank you. 23 for me, Les. This is self-examination. David, the psalmist, is writing, say, oh God, you know, as I'm in your presence, as I'm in your midst, search me. Search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Know my life. Listen, aren't you glad that there's one person in this world that knows you completely and absolutely, knows you better than anyone else, better than your spouse if you're married, better than your family, better than your children? There's someone in this universe that knows you. He knows everything about you. Not only does He know your behaviors, but He knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And He loves you, and He accepts you, and He desires, He wants to know you. I don't know about you, but that to me is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing that He wants to know you. He wants a relationship with you. And so these verses is about, you know, searching, God, searching my heart. Show me areas. Show me ways, Lord, that I need to grow in. Show me those areas, those stumbling blocks in my life. Show me those walls that I put up. What is it about these issues in my life, Lord, that control me? You see, if we will stop for a few minutes and get quiet with God and let Him speak to us and begin to point these things out, man, I'll tell you what, He can begin to make some changes. He can begin to deal with some things in our life. But if we don't take the time in this busy culture for some self-examination through the Word and with God, it won't happen. When's the last time you just took a few minutes with God and said, God, search me. Know me. Search my heart today. See if there's any offensive way. See if there's any wicked way in me, Lord. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time I did that? You want to know God better. You want to know Him more. You want to know Him deeper. We've got to take time with Him. The problem that happens with a lot of older Christians, people who've been walking with the Lord for a while, is that we start thinking we don't need this. We're going to coast. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You just coast, you know, because you've learned a lot of scriptures. You've learned through, you know God to a certain extent. And so you coast, you know. And you just kind of go through the motions sometimes, or you don't. And the issue is this. Nothing has changed. You need the Lord as much, if not more, than you did when you became a Christian, even more desperately, because, you see, if I'm tempted to rely on myself, then the enemy has got me right where he wants me. You see, if I'm relying on myself, that's a scary thing. And so we as Christians who've been in the Lord for a while, we have to be very careful. Now, let me give you some real practical help in spending some time with God and spending some time in the Word. There are some very practical devotional reading guides. I believe back in the rack we have some reading guides, Bible reading guides. There are so many available. There's many online. You can go to Bible.org. You can go to so many good Christian websites and download them for free. And it's just a guide to help you read the Word. I encourage you to read something from the Old Testament and read something from the New Testament. You have to have a balanced diet. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the message of Christ. Consequently, faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. You want to grow your faith? You've got to hear from God, not just from the Word, but including the Word, the message of Christ, and hearing God speak to you His Word, both for initial faith and ongoing faith. Let's try to wrap up. As I spend time with God and I spend time in His Word, as I learn about Him, then something's going to happen in my life. Something miraculous, something transformational begins to happen in my life. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Brittany Lennon is going to read that for us.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wish that we, in a sense, were kind of like a computer. And, you know, we could take all the knowledge and the principles and the truth of this and just to kind of download it into our head. Wouldn't that be great? You know, we could, like, take out the old hard drive and put in the new hard drive. Whoop! Man, what a transformation that would be overnight. But that's not the way it works, is it? God transforms us little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, as we study His Word, as we seek Him, as we get to know Him more and more and more, He transforms us. Now, I've said this before, the disciplines themselves don't transform you. You know, you can read the Bible, and it had no effect on you. You must read it in faith. You must read it with expectancy. You must read it in obedience. And it will have an effect in your life. It will transform you. See, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word and through the power of the Spirit. And then as my mind is renewed, then I'm able to test and approve God's will in my life. That's real change, folks. That's real change. A lot of churches focus on, hey, you're going to come to this church, You know, you got to clean yourself up, man. Don't come around here having been drinking or smoking or chewing or going with the girls are doing. Just making sure you're awake. A little fun here. A lot of churches are just focused on all that external stuff. And you know what? You know, to some extent, some of that's important. But God wants to go deeper than that. He wants to change your heart so that you don't want to do those things anymore. Why would I want to do those things when I know they're harmful to me? They hurt my relationships, they control my life, they're not good for me, not good for my health. Why would I want to do those things? Well, because my flesh wants to. But I can overcome my flesh. And I can overcome my hurts and my habits and my hang-ups by the renewing of my mind. Amen? By the renewing of my mind, by His Word having that transformational effect on my life. But it's not going to happen if I'm not spending time with God and spending time in His Word. I said this a few weeks ago. You and I cannot spend hours in front of the TV, hours in the movies, hours on whatever it is that's happening, our communication, whether it's, you know, Facebook, tweeting, twittering, whatever that is called. I don't tweet because I'm a twit or something like that. But you can't spend hours and hours and hours with all that stuff. And that's fine. It has a place. It's fun. But you can't spend hours in all that stuff and neglect the Word of God and neglect time with Him and expect to be changed. And it's just not going to happen. You know? And so you'll be a Christian, you know, at the same level, at the same place, you'll deal with the same struggles. Nothing's going to change until you make the commitment to spend time with God and in His Word. Someone was sharing with me yesterday, we had the men's event, the shrimp and oyster roast, and man, if you didn't make it out, guys, whew, that was a throw-down time. Mm, that was awesome. How many guys, what was the final count on it? About 60 guys that came out to that. A lot of them were not necessarily from our church family. Friends that had been invited and so on. We had a great time. Colby gave his testimony, and we challenged men to know Jesus Christ. It was just an awesome time. One of the guys that was there yesterday, he said, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for about 10 years, and I hadn't still hadn't been baptized. And I finally got to the place where I knew I got to be baptized because I'm holding out on the Lord. The Lord asked me to give it all and to be baptized. And he said he went to his pastor and asked to be baptized. You know, he said his pastor told him this. You've been a Christian for 10 years, but you've only had 10 years, or you've had 1 year, 10 times of growth. 1 year of growth, 10 times. You've never gotten past 1 year because you've never made the commitment to follow the Lord and spend time with Him. I think there's a lot of us sitting here today. That's our experience. Maybe we've been a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years, but our experience is 1 year or less, 15 or 20 times, because we've never gotten past where God wants us to go. So what are you going to do with this message this morning? Are you going to just tuck it away up in your spiritual shelf? Oh, that was a nice message, Pastor. Good challenge. Yeah. Are you going to make a commitment right here and now? Lord, I'm going to spend time in Your Word. I'm going to spend time with You. I want You to speak to me. I want You to transform my mind so that I can be an overcomer. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. You are so faithful. And that You do what we cannot. And Lord, even right now, You are challenging and drawing and encouraging folks to make a deeper commitment. The next step, spending time with You. Lord, right now, for each one of us, Lord, would You renew our commitment to take time each day to be in Your Word and be with You, that we might hear Your voice, Lord, and that You might transform us. Pray in Your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Let's close the service with that beautiful song.